Hey everybody, it's Dave Hall with another episode of War Stories, Tales from the Front. Today I'm talking to you with my good buddy, Zach Marcy. You guys might have remembered from early on in the series when I was talking to Frank DeMeo that Zach's name came up a couple of times. Zach has been an influential presence in my professional life in the last year or so since I met him down at St. Petersburg at one of Elliot Holtz's events. Zach runs a gym in Miami, Florida called Synergize Transformation Center. Zach's a powerful dude. He has a bodybuilding background, a powerlifting background, was a professional gambler at one time. He is a very... I use this word with a little bit of hesitancy because I don't want to give the wrong picture, but Zach's a little bit of a shark, man. He's a very intense, powerful dude, but he's got a heart of gold, and that intensity he applies toward elevating other people and helping people improve their lives. So without any more introduction on my part, everybody, this is Zach Marcy. Zach, say hey.
Dude, you didn't even know it. But I swear on my life, my moniker on online poker is the Tiburon, which is the shark. That's so funny you even say that, man. I'm sitting there, like, biting my lip, trying to not, like, outwardly giggle. That's so funny, man.
That is funny. That's cool.
Yeah, it's funny because one of the things that always made me extremely good at being able to bluff is I'm such a very – honest and straightforward person. I'm one of those guys that, you know, people don't ask me questions because they get too much of an answer of the truth. And I remember my ex-wife and I were all having people over playing poker one day, and, you know, I ran this really, really big bluff, even on her. You know, of course, she's playing with my money, but yeah. I pulled this on her, and, you know, just customary, you muck your cards face down, and she looked at me and she just knew. She didn't have enough to call, but she knew that I was bluffing. And she picked my cards up and flipped them over and goes, "Oh, I Tiburon!" And it just stuck from that point forward, man.
That's cool, man. Very cool. Excellent. Well, I got you pegged.
Yeah, you did, dude. Quite often.
Tell everybody a little bit about your gym, Synergize Transformation Center. That's a cool name. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, essentially, we started off as, excuse me, may cough just a couple of times here, getting over a bout with bronchitis. We originally started off as a virtual coaching program. I had sold my studio in Houston, Texas, and I had moved to Miami, Florida, but in the interim, I needed to make a decent little amount of money, so I started taking clients online, and back to 1990, I want to say around 98, I had an opportunity to work as a bellman at a very nice resort in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had an opportunity to meet a gentleman that gave me a book and told me it was going to be the greatest book, or it was either going to be the biggest waste of a tip or the greatest life-changing tip I've ever received in my life. And he handed me this book, and I'm looking at it, and, of course, in my college head, I'm pissed off that this guy is giving me a book with some computer software, and, you know, I tossed it in my house, and I swear to God, I have a whole purpose of telling the story. So essentially, a couple of years later, one of my friends comes up, and we're studying for a college course, and he looks at my bookshelf and goes, "Hey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Holy cow, man! You know, this is a national bestseller. You know that? You read this?" I go, "Oh yeah. I'm reading it now." Lie. And he goes, "Oh, can I borrow?" I go, no, man, I'm in the middle of doing something about it. So instead of being a liar, which I don't lie, I immediately started reading it. And the term synergy actually was utilized in one of those as one of the seven habits, and it's essentially using components where if you let's say that you have just one component working individually, it might be effective. But when you use things as force multipliers, or in our case, in synergy, you combine the mental, the nutrition, and the cardio and resistance training, they're force multipliers that, yeah, individually they may give you some results, but when put together, they work synergistically to give you compoundingly greater effect. Thus, the term synergy or synergize was born to represent me doing this entire program that I was virtual coaching people through, which led me to then being able to start Synergize Fitness here in Miami.
That is really cool. I did not realize that was the background on that name. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is an awesome friggin' book. And if you have not read it and you're listening, go out and get a copy of it right now. In fact, on Audible, Stephen Covey reads his book. And yeah, that's a must read. Should be on everybody's book list.
You
want to
hear
very,
something
very
really
cool.
Embarrassing, Dave?
What's that?
I think it was Stephen Covey that actually gave me that book.
No. Wow.
I know, man. And I can't even tell you if it was him or not. I just know it was either him or his son that was doing that whole thing. And there, 2.5-3 years later, I turn around and go, holy cow, there's an opportunity I missed.
Well, you know what? That's really cool, though, because there's something about, you know, about just planting that seed, you know, and Stephen Covey's really good about doing that sort of thing. Is he'll drop something out there in your lap, either, you know, through his book or through, you know, one of his lectures or something like that, and you catch it, right? And then you don't do anything with it. And then a couple of years later, when the time is right, suddenly it sprouts and it blooms forth. So now I think that's cool. I think that's cool. And it's cool that you held on to it and definitely, you know, had the opportunity to take advantage of it. So I support that entirely. That's very, very cool. So how long has Synergize been going? How long have you been in Miami?
Synergize virtually started 2007. His partner, who you'll hear me allude to, who was also a mutual friend with Dave. Alex and I hooked up in 2009. So, I mean, it was, I want to say 2008? Yeah, probably 2008 was when I went to good old state and had it officially recognized as a corporation, but mm-hmm. as an actual functioning facility, it started in 2009.
Cool. So you were in Houston before that.
Correct.
What were you doing in Houston?
I owned a personal training studio by the name of Body Labs. And we had, I had bought a personal training studio that was going under sight unseen while I was still living in Atlanta, and I essentially just brought over a basic skeleton of what the Synergize 7 is now, and absolutely blew that personal training studio up. I think within 3 months I got that thing profitable again, completely turned it around, and still to this day it stands to be probably one of my more successful runs in the personal training industry.
Without exposing all of your secrets,
here we
tell
go.
Us a couple. Tell us a couple of things. What did you do? How did you turn that place around? What was wrong with it that you fixed?
The first thing was the training was not modernized. You know, it was kind of a typical pink dumbbell aerobics class type of feel to it. I don't really want to knock the person that previously owned it. She was decent at training, but just did not have a business sense. And fortunately, I grew up with a grandfather who owned radio stations and sold futures and different various things. And, you know, I had a father who owned radio stations. And, you know, I mean, all family discussions wound up circling somehow, some way around business. And I had the benefit of learning from my father and grandfather, watching these, I guess you'd call them like nice sharks, essentially work in and out of having really savvy business tactics. And I picked a lot of it up along the way. And I'll say being able to understand everything in your business needs to have some kind of profit really changed. I guess it really set me apart from so many different either training managers or personal trainers in the industry along the way, that I've always managed to be successful because I've understood business, not just the training aspects too. So, you know, number one, I went in there and I changed it from being less of a fraternity / sorority and more into a profitable business while keeping the human element in it at the same time. They also didn't have anything related to nutrition, which, you know, just as well as I, that's 80% of the equation when it comes to making sure people are going to change in any aspect of working out. You know, if you want a physique transformation, or if you want to be better at sports, or even just better in your life and have energy, nutrition's a humongous component. That was another thing I came in and immediately changed. And the third thing is I'm energetic and positive, and I went and hired people that embodied that same kind of personality while complemented my weaknesses, which during that time were corrective exercise and program design for anybody over 40 plus that might have injuries or ailments and stuff like that. And, you know, I brought in an expert there, brought in a nutritionist, and simply just invested decent money into really sound business practices. And the next thing I did is I immediately started requesting people to give me 3 referrals at the point of sale. I mean, it was literally just that simple.
Cool. That's some gold right there, man. I'm taking notes as we talk. why'd you leave Houston? If everything was rocking so well, what happened?
You know, and this is a lesson learned that I'm able to now teach other people. Things were going, I put every ounce of energy and time and effort into that studio. It left nothing for A, my personal life, and B, my marriage. And no matter how well we were doing in the personal training studio, my marriage was going sideways at the same time. And with the studio being community property, my ex and I couldn't agree on how to split our community property in a very, very ugly, very, very bitter, very, very – it was an ugly divorce. And we wound up – the only thing we could agree on was selling the studio. So at just shy of the pinnacle of the peak of the studio, we wound up having to sell it for pennies on the dollar. So,
oh, wow.
If there's a lesson there to that I teach people, is that you can't function within a box. Yeah, you might have one thing going really well, but if you don't have a nice balance in your life, something's going to pop, something's going to give, and it's going to affect everything. You got to make sure that you hyper-focus on your personal, your professional, your physical, and your psychological areas of your life, but work them synergistically together so they're enhancing one another, not detracting from one another.
Nice. You are, you know, whenever I talk to you and whenever I listen to you, I'm always struck by how tremendously positive you are. You have an aggressive aspect to you, but there's this quality of the positive, of everything is for growth, everything is for development, and you bring up everybody around you. Is that something that you've always had, or is that something that you had to develop? And if so, how did that come about?
I grew up a very selfish child. I came from, at one point in time, my parents had a good amount of wealth. I was extremely well-known in the community simply because I was that little kid that always did commercials on my dad's radio station. And, I was just a popular kid. And then my father lost everything. And we moved from an area where I was really well-known, really well-respected, to an area where, well, quite frankly, I was one of the only white kids in the school. And
yeah.
Nobody liked me at all. I got beat up consistently on a daily basis. I learned very quickly how to defend myself. And I went through a real rough period on a personal level where, I was trying to stand out again, but I stood out for all the wrong reasons. I stood out because I was so different from everybody else, not elevated because I was different. And it basically came to a breaking point where one or two things was going to happen. I was either going to go and become, this thuggy kid that would just go and just get into fist fights every day, or I was going to take control of the situation on a personal level and say, you know what, things are cool. I'm going to figure this out. Now, it's real easy to talk about, but you're talking – or it's real easy to talk from this point of view now, but back then it was one of the hardest struggles I've ever went through in my life. And, I sat down with my parents and I'm like, look, you know what? I'm getting the crap beat out of me. Nobody likes me. What are we going to do? My parents put me into martial arts. Next thing I know, nobody's messing with me at all. Basically, all you got to do is beat one kid up one time bad enough and, people stopped picking on me, but it started developing this inner self-confidence. It started developing this inner sense of being, and I learned how to meditate, and I learned how to have control over, even as a teenager, those stupid raging hormones make you do and think stupid things. I learned how to get everything under control, and the next thing I know, doing that personal development at 12, 13, I started just viewing the world in a completely different way. And I have a lot of the martial arts aspects to thank for it. They gave me essential warrior virtues of how to look at things in a productive manner. A lot of people think that, I'm just a forever optimist, but it's more I'm just grounded into worrying about the things that I can control and going and controlling them and letting go of the things and not fretting over things that you can't control because there's nothing you can do about it. So it makes it easier to focus on the controllable things, and it seems that I'm just extremely positive because those are the things that I focus on and let go of everything else.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. I never knew that about you. I mean, I knew that we had a similar interest in sort of the Eastern philosophy, and I knew that there was a martial arts background, but I'd never got the, pardon my phrasing it this way, but the spoiled rich kid who suddenly bottomed out and found himself in the hood trying to survive. That's a powerful story, man. That's, there's a tremendous amount of growth that happens there, and you're right. You could have completely crumpled and turned into another thug kid, but it sounds like you made the most out of it, and kudos to you, man. That's very cool.
Kudos. I would love to be able to take all of that, the pride in myself, but kudos to my parents for raising me right, man. It literally has everything to do with my parents being there every step of the way. Number one, setting the example. No matter what happened, my parents always worked hard to be good parents and to be providers. And number two, they were always there through thick and thin, through me yelling at them, telling them I hate them, all that, you know, stupid stuff that we do as teenagers, no matter what, there was always unconditional love. That's kudos to my parents, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So there are several projects that you've got going on that we've talked about off and on, and I'm going to work my way backwards through these. Since we've just discussed the martial arts experience and the Eastern strength that you developed through that, you've got a project called Way of the Modern Warrior. Tell us a little bit about that.
Way of the Modern Warrior is essentially the culmination of my life's experiences of martial arts, of Eastern methodologies applied into a Western type of world and Western type of think, all culminated into one project. And there's so many things that I see men getting distracted and lazy and becoming just weak, weak men nowadays. And we've lost a certain class in the world, and it's the warrior class. And I'm not talking about people that go out and fight all the time or go out and have to kill, kill to survive. But it's essentially people that live by a set of virtues. And no matter what's going on around them, they hold themselves to a different or higher standard and function from those virtues on a daily basis and making decisions. Instead, we're getting distracted through TV and media and phones and computers and scantily clad women and just a plethora of things that are thrown at us, not necessarily with the intention of distracting us, but really just dumbing us down and making us weak, making us just a nation of what's in it for me now, as opposed to adding value into the world. The Way of the Modern Warrior has the intention of saving us from that very fate, that fate of being distracted and lazy and just kind of skating through life, living for the moment, but leaving something in the world and having personal accomplishment in your personal, your professional, your physical, and your psychological areas of your life while going after your passion and your purpose. And it, of course, all revolves around utilizing warrior virtues while also personal physical conquest through workouts. I hope that made sense, man. It sure did in my head.
No, that's, you know, personally, I mean, you know that that I'm all about the virtues of the warrior myself, and I think that from an archetypal standpoint, we're all warriors. We all face struggles. We all have adversity to overcome, and the warrior archetype has such powerful lessons for us to thrive in that context. So I'm very much in support of this project, and I think that you're right. I think that it's something that we as a culture desperately need. And
Dave, it's okay if you tell everybody that I just hired you to help me write it. So
that's right. Coming to you soon from Marcy Hall Productions, The Way of the Modern Warrior.
Well, no, I mean, even just due to the fact that, Dave, you've really forged forward, and the honest truth is, for those of you guys listening at home, Dave Hall is essentially a warrior. I've watched the guy go from kind of a meek, shyish guy with a huge internal voice to a guy that's expressing that voice outwardly and influencing people in exactly the same tone or a very similar tone to the way I want to influence young men and the people of women are warriors too, so I don't want to just classify the warriors being men. I see you, Dave, as one of those people that's forging the way forward too. And in reading and writing, I like, there's one of two things I could have done. I could have looked at it, I could have hated on it and been like, wow, day breaks so well, woe is me, I'm a little idiot. Or I could have said, hey, you know what, I'm just going to communicate what I feel the way of the modern warrior is going to be, and I'm going to hope that Dave's voice in writing it, it can it get my point across better than I can. And you seem to have this voice that just needs to be heard, man. I know this might be my interview, but quite frankly, I do want to elevate and pump you up here because there is a real power to you, and it's been a joy watching you go from that little kind of neat guy to the big, strong powerhouse Dave that you're allowing yourself to become, man.
Wow. Thanks, Zach. I really appreciate that. You're going to make me blush, man.
Sure, brother.
So, as a counterpart, I think, you know, I think we're both in agreement that both men and women are warriors, and that they both can learn from that archetype. But we're also in agreement that there's a difference between men and women, and that it is unfair to try to create a one-size-fits-all template. That you have to address each one in its own, according to their own individual needs. And the way that it seems to me that you guys have done that is you have another project called the Dime Peace Project, which is specifically suited towards women. Speak to that. Tell us all about that.
The Dime Peace Project has been, just so everybody knows at home, we are actually doing workouts in our facility at Synergized Transformation Center. The ones specifically catered around men are the Way of the Modern Warrior workouts. The ones for women are called the Dime Peace Project workouts. And they're exclusive invite-only groups where people have to essentially prove themselves worthy to be able to come into the actual group. Now, with that said, the Dime Peace Project, Dime Peace is actually a play on words. There's an urban slang term for a woman that's, you know, a 10 piece, or a perfect 10, or a dime piece. Well, our term is a pun on that sexualization, and it takes it in and turns it into a powerful message, not just, oh, she's a dime. A dime piece is essentially determined, intelligent, motivated, and evolving. While peace is actually spelled like, oh, peace, love, and rock and roll, it's positive energy activates constant elevation. This is the brain trust or the brainchild of my counterpart in Synergize, Alex Villegas. And although I'm the workout mastermind behind all of the workouts, he's the philosopher and the creator of the entire movement itself. And it is essentially about taking women, empowering them, and showing them through both personal achievement and physical achievement how they can express being determined, intelligent, motivated, evolving, etc.
Nice. That's really cool. Yeah, Alex has got to be an awesome partner for you. He's on my list for interview in a couple weeks, and he's quite the force himself. You guys create a powerful combo. And I know you guys are taking Miami by storm.
Definitely yin and yang, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's the most powerful combination is you know, somebody who's strong enough to recognize, you know, their own weaknesses and to find somebody that complements that is synergy, right? I mean, that's exactly what it is. So
that
very
exactly
very
what
cool.
It is, bro.
Excellent. There's another product that you've got out for the holidays, your Holiday Thrival Guide. Tell me about that. What's up with that?
Actually, I initially intended to write up this guide just for my clients in my studio. And I started getting into it, and I go, you know what I'm going to do? I don't want to write a survival guide. I want to put together something that's going to help me. I'm going to write this for myself. And I don't want to survive. I want to thrive during the holidays. But at the same time, I want to be able to enjoy the holidays during that time period where I don't feel like I'm missing out, but at the same time, still getting results. And I started putting together this little guide just for myself. And then I was gonna kind of like back off on it and dumb it down just a little bit and turn it into a guide for everybody. And it really took on its own life. And instead of being this just kind of one size fits all, you know, oh, eat this, don't eat that, it essentially is just a walkthrough on exactly what to do every step of the way, every day of the holiday, where you can still enjoy your bad meal you're going to have on Thanksgiving and your bad meal that you're going to have on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and you're going to go out and party on New Year's Eve and probably drink through the night. And, you know, there's certain times that you need to squeeze and certain times that you need to thrive. And I just put this whole thing together, and the next thing I know, it's 20 pages long and, you know, thousands of words later, and I'm like, whoa, I actually have a product I should probably wind up selling here. So, like every good businessman, I took it and just gave it away for free. I was hoping you'd catch that one. That was intended to be funny. Essentially, it was just something I took upon myself to do, and it became huge. And I can't tell you how I have gotten such a positive feedback and a positive reaction from so many people that I'm giving this thing away, that it ushered up an intense amount of goodwill. And I'm like, guys, pay it forward. Go out and tell other people to hey, look, this is how you're going to be able to thrive during the holidays. And take freaking action on it. Don't get this guy that I put all this effort and energy into and not actually follow through on it. That's essentially my guide in a nutshell, man.
That's nice. That's nice. And that's something really important that you bring up. A large part of the people who listen to these interviews are young coaches who are looking to get into the business themselves, and so they look to already established guys like yourself and Jason C. Brown and Zach Evan Esch and Frank DeMeo and the people who I already interviewed, and what they're looking for are those kernels of wisdom for, you know, what do I need to be doing? How do I get myself on, you know, into a successful business position? How do I make my business grow and thrive? And it's funny, but, you know, giving stuff away while on surface seems so counterintuitive to being a business person is actually an essential part of that process. And like you said, you know, the thrival guide is literally thriving by making it available to really whoever wants it. How did you get to that place? How did you get to the place where you were capable of taking that and going, okay, I'm just going to give it away, as opposed to being fearful of what you might lose by giving it away?
I actually have a couple of people to thank for teaching me about really pushing your message and not holding much back. Guys who I look up to as mentors and friends, one in particular would be Zach Vanesh for sure. You know, Zach, I cannot tell you how much that guy has done for me and just helped me over the course of time of just giving me information without asking for anything back. And I tell you what, man, there was a point where I would buy anything that Zach gave out, waiting, just wanting to be a part of what he does because he had helped me so much.
Yeah.
And Craig Ballantyne is another guy that Craig has managed over the last 3 years to probably be one of the biggest motivator and influences in my life. And he does so in a way, man, it really came out of nowhere with him, where I needed some, I needed a boot camp product to be able to train these girls that I had. I'd never run a boot camp before, and through an actual exchange of products, I didn't even buy Craig's first product. I gave this other guy a copy of this other boot camp product that I wasn't happy with, and he gave me a copy of Turbulence Training. And I started looking through it, and I'm like, holy cow. The next thing I know, I get onto Craigslist. Craig is a guy that actually helps other fitness entrepreneurs stimulate their business and develop their business. So I started, just getting involved with some of that too, since Craig had such an established name, especially writing for things like Men's Health. And Craig holds nothing back, man. Like, he goes above and beyond, gives out workout every week. He educates people with studies and information. And if you even go to his, I'm a part of his mastermind now, which is earlytorise.com. He gives all of his secrets that he uses to be a consistently productive person on a daily basis. And he just gives the entire blueprint away. And everybody seems to think when you're giving stuff away that there's some secret that you're withholding somewhere. So they're more likely to stick around while you're giving them and helping them for free. They're more likely to buy from you to figure out those secrets that you're holding back. And to be quite honest with you, man, I disclose pretty much everything. And that's the reason why a lot of people wind up sticking around with me, because there's only so much you can teach people along the way on a consistent daily basis. You can't just empty out your head and pour it into theirs and they know everything you know. So because I give so freely and also create really good products where I way over deliver, like for, $20, you're going to wind up getting probably $200 worth of information from me. That's the other thing, is I just way over deliver on the quality of products.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Because, I think those of us that, first start off in the business world think that there is, that there's a limited amount that that we have to give, and we have to secure our position. And it's like the idea is that there's a limited pie to operate from, and those that are successful, though, seem to understand that pie is actually unlimited. And the more you give, the more there is to come back to you, and the more there is to benefit the world. And I think it really comes down to that idea that what you put out into the universe comes back to you. And so the more you put out, the more you get back.
Having that mindset of abundance as opposed to scarcity, exactly. Yeah, that's something you have to live, though. That's something that's very difficult to fake until you make. Like, it really is something that from balls to bone, you've got to believe and live. Because if you don't really truly believe that there's abundance in the world, you will function from a point of scarcity. You will, and people pick up on it. If they feel like all you're doing is trying to take them along for a ride because you're trying to milk more money out of them, then people will pick up on that. And I've been in situations, man, where as soon as I get that spidey sense in the back of my neck that somebody's doing that to me, man, I cut ties with them faster than shit, man, faster than I'd drop a bag of flaming dog poo, dude. Like, I don't even mess with it. Don't even mess with it, man. It's one of those where I completely cut those people out of my life. And I only bring in people that have a similar mindset of intentionally and I don't want to say benevolently, because I believe that you should get paid for what you do. But at the same time, the people that truly and genuinely want to help other people are the people that I associate with, and the people that are in it for the buck, I don't. I have nothing to do with those people.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. I think it's all about being of service for me right now. It's you know, the money thing I don't handle very well anyway. So if I can do some good out in the world, then I trust that the world's going to take care of me, and I just operate from there. Speaking of money, this is a very good segue. Not many people know this about you, or at least I was surprised to find out. You're a professional gambler at one point. How did that all come about?
Oh.
Are you there? I'm losing you.
I'm here. We're talking about giving away, and man, I tell you, it's a mindset shift when it comes to it. A lot of people talk about gambling, and the one distinction that I do want to make is I only ever played no limit hold'em poker or variations of poker, which you can develop a skill to give yourself an edge in a way where you're making better decisions that are going to significantly tilt the odds in your favor. But it's a skill. It's a learned and practiced skill. Just like, I don't know, archery or baseball or anything like that. The more that you play poker correctly and in a way that maximizes your results, the more money you're going to wind up making over a course of time. And it's based on mathematics. It's based on playing other people and their tendencies and paying attention to behavioral and psychological patterns. So, yeah, although poker is considered gambling, in my mind and for my own little comfort zone, I always call it a skill game and never looked at it as gambling. There was a point in time, and many people don't know this, but after I wound up having to sell Body Labs and was stuck with an extremely large IRS bill where almost all of the profits went directly into paying IRS, I was able to live off of, you know, the rest of my savings at that point on for a little bit until Synergize really got cranking. Well, like everything, I was living a pretty big lifestyle, so I ran through my money pretty fast, especially when I moved down to Miami, where the cost of living compared to Houston is about 20-25% more. And I was struggling to find a personal training studio that had the same ideals that I had, so I wound up working a little bit in the corporate personal training industry, and I hated it, man. It was just sucking my soul dry. So I wound up stopping that. I went and played poker professionally for a little bit, and I did pretty well. And there was one incident in particular where I wound up coming up with, and I wound up winning enough money to actually go buy all of our website domain, these products that actually helped us create our foundation on developing our website, and I even talked about that boot camp book that I had that I hated that I traded for turbulence training. That was part of the thing that I bought, but I also managed to go and buy a lot of dumbbells and a lot of kettlebells and a lot of stuff off of this huge run I made playing poker.
Wow.
Every single time I've ever ran into an issue where I'm not doing that well financially, I will usually go and play a little bit of No Limit Texas Hold'em at a little bit smaller stakes where I get to play against tourists and people just kind of like having fun. And tilt the edge in my favor because I'm a professional poker player.
We will never play poker, Zach. I am a terrible, terrible card player.
I kind of want to play our boy Kevin Sharon, man. Kevin said it takes much, like, significantly higher than I have. I mean, you want to talk about professional poker players, that guy has played at some of the higher stakes in life. I have not played at his nosebleed stakes, man. There does come a point where you have to dissociate money from it being – it's not money. It's a tool. You're essentially using little itty-bitty chips, your little tools, in order to make more of those little itty-bitty tools. Like, it's – you can't put $50 into a pot and go, damn, there goes my, you know, a pair of my son's shoes and, you know, groceries for the week. You can't look at it like that. Kevin played at stakes where you're like, okay, I'm going to put a car in the middle of this because I intend to pull back enough to buy a house. Like, that's the kind of – kind of stakes that Kevin played for. I never got to that level.
Yeah, that's even scarier for me, man. I mean, you know, my history is with penny poker, and I walk in with $5 and walk out with none. So that's where I come from.
You walk out with a good time, right?
That's right. I paid $5 and I got to drink beer and hang out with some buddies, but I'm never the guy that walks out with money, which is fine. Because, you know, just kind of have a good time.
I consistently found games where I could, where I played guys like you. That's essentially what I did. You know, and it was just, that was a bit major conflict within myself, too, though. You know, I mean, you're essentially beating up on suckers for a living, dude. That's what a poker player is, man. I'm serious.
No, so many of
my other friends, I had a bunch of friends. You know, in fact, I've got a really close friend. He just placed it at a tournament over the weekend. His name's Hans. I actually met him through training him. Alex used to train him over at 24. Oops, never mind. Scratch, I didn't use the corporate name. Hans is a guy that, I mean, he plays at World Series of Poker level, you know. Just last year he came shy of winning a bracelet, but you're talking about somebody that makes millions off of playing. So there's a bunch of different levels, but man, I just could not get into the fact, like, there was always a conflict inside of me where it was like, man, you know, I'm taking advantage of other people. They're just there to have fun. You know, like, sure, it's at will. They're doing it on to themselves, but there was always just that little thing in the back of my head that made it where I could never take it to that next level. It just was not me.
Yeah, I can understand that.
They won't take your money, though, Dave.
Oh, absolutely, and I wouldn't feel bad.
I wouldn't feel bad at all.
And we'd have a good time doing it. So no, that's just it, because we're both consenting adults coming to knowing exactly what's going to happen. You know, somebody's going to, you know, we're all coming to the table and we know the rules and that we all agreed to sit down to this. So I'm totally cool with it. And I don't think that there's anything evil about it. I just happen to know that I don't have that particular skill set. And so, you know, it's not in my best interest to make a habit out of it. But still, I'm all for having a good time.
Here you're talking about consenting. Dave, you trying to get my pants? Talking about consenting adults and all that. Come on, man. All right. Yeah, the interview got a little bit too serious. So I had to make sure we cranked up some of the fun in it.
There you go, bro. All right. So if I am in the Miami area and I want to I want to come train at Synergize, or I want to get in contact with you and Alex. How do I go about doing that? How does that happen?
I write consistently on our Synergize Fat Loss blog, synergizefatloss.com. You can consistently find transformation tips and fat loss tips there. that's our general blog for the general public, anybody looking to make a transformation. If you're looking to come over here from the Miami area, you want to try out one of our semi-private groups, or you want to do our boot camp, you can go to synergizefit.com, synergizefit.com, and essentially either ask for, or you can get signed up for a $100 off coupon in the right-hand side, and either Alex or I will call you back by filling out one of those forms. You'll actually see we just updated our video on there, and Alex is doing a dynamic job of telling you that we get a chance. You get a chance to come in and try out to see whether or not we're going to accept you into our program, and that's basically how they can get a hold of us, man.
Excellent. If I want to pick up a copy of the Holiday Thrival Guide, how do I get hold of that?
I'm going to give you, Dave, the URL to it. It's kind of one of those long ones because of the it being a landing page. It's on the dinepeaceproject.com/holiday-thrival-guide or something like that. But I'll make sure that your viewership gets an opportunity to get that. That thing, guys, if you do absolutely nothing with information you glean from this, at least go download that thing and go give it to somebody else that's going to take action on it if you're not going to. But pay that thing forward, man. That I really went above and beyond to get that thing out there. And, Dave, for the love of God, go follow it yourself and give it to all your clients.
Yeah, I certainly will, man. I certainly will. I'll. In fact, when we get off of this interview, I'm going to go download my own copy and push it out on Facebook and every other mouthpiece that I've got out there. We're definitely going to spread the love. Excellent. Zach, it was really, really good talking to you today. Is there anything that I did not cover that you'd like to get into before we end?
Not really, man. This is fun, man. It's one of the more fun interviews that I've done, man. We went there. We went there on pretty much everything.
Yeah. I definitely enjoyed this, too. It's always a pleasure to spend, you know, some time on the phone with you and catch up. So this was good. I learned a lot. And I'm looking forward to the next opportunity. Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, looks like there's a poker night in our future. I can definitely tell, you know.
We got to get Sharon in. Sharon will clean us all up, dude. I probably can't even hold a candle to that guy, man.
That would be worth the price of admission just to sit at that table, man. And I wouldn't mind being a sucker for a night just to watch you guys go. So, yeah, we'll have to make that happen.
I got his. That guy's one of the smarter guys I've ever met.
Yeah, definitely. He's on the short list for interviews too. I hope to get to him before the year's out or first of next year. So.
So I'm riding the short bus and he's riding the short list.
Right on, bro.
Dang peace.
All right, bro. I'm gonna let you go. And
all right, Doug.
I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for doing this, man. And anybody out there, go take action on the information you guys just gleaned. And if you didn't learn anything, go listen to it again.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
Later, man.